Today I'm speaking with Leanest Lifestyle Success, Kelly Davis. Hello, Kelly. How you doing today?
Hi, good.
Awesome. We're talking on the phone, of course. Where are you at? What part of the country?
I'm in Seattle, Washington.
Seattle. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? How old are you? Family? Height? All that kind of good stuff. Give us the basics of Kelly.
Okay. Well, I'm 33 years old, and I am a research scientist at the University of Washington. I'm married, and I have two young kids. One's almost four, and the other's 18 months old. So I have a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm 5'2", and I currently weigh 124.
Awesome. And now you're a research scientist.
Yes.
Now, you don't have to spill the whole beans here, but that's kind of intriguing. So what's that involve?
Well, I basically got my PhD in psychology from the University of Washington. And so now what I do is I study how alcohol affects people's sexual decision making. So essentially, I do experiments involving having people come into the laboratory and see how alcohol intoxication affects how they make decisions in social situations.
I'll be darned. That's interesting, yeah.
So it's very interesting. It's very interesting.
Absolutely.
Stuff, and I thoroughly enjoy it. So.
Well, as the members and other people are going to see, you know, with your before and after pictures, you made a great transformation. And what I want to know is, when did you find the Leanest Lifestyle and what initially brought you to the club?
Well, I found Leanest Lifestyle in May of 2003. And the way that I found it was through a different online forum that I had been taking part of. I had been trying the Body for Life program.
Yeah.
And so I had been going to various online forums about that program, and one of the people there mentioned Leanest Lifestyle. And at that time, BFL was no longer working for me, and so I thought, well, I'll check this out. And lo and behold, I did, and I sure am glad that I did.
Yeah, but you came in at the right time. You came in just a couple of months before the summer contest.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, what's your history been like with weight and fitness and this whole transformation journey and, you know, previous battles, if any, and all that kind of good stuff? You say you're 33, right?
That's right.
So, you know, kind of when did this all start, or has it only been recently, or what happened?
Well, basically, I was of a normal weight all through growing up. I was athletic, and so I competed in... I was actually a competitive skater, and so growing up, I didn't have any problem with weight because I was constantly exercising, essentially, and could eat whatever I wanted. However, when I started college, I quit the skating and essentially quit exercising, and so even though I was continuing to eat whatever I wanted, and slowly but surely packed on some pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It happened basically pretty gradually, you know, 3-4 pounds a year maybe, but
sure.
After a few years, you're at 20 more pounds.
Right.
So I kind of woke up in my mid-20s and went, whoa, how did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, I tried Weight Watchers probably 3 or 4 times, kind of off and on over the period of a few years, and... it would work for me for a little while. Mm-hmm. I would lose maybe 7-10 pounds. But I realize now, looking back at it, that about a 10-week period, I would start to get disillusioned with whatever program I was on, be it Weight Watchers or Body for Life, and I would quit. And I think part of it was just kind of impatience, wanting the weight to be off now and saying, I've only lost 7 pounds and it's been 10 weeks. So
right.
That means I'm going to have 30 more weeks to, you know, be where I want to be,
mm-hmm.
or what have you. And so I would basically quit the program and feel kind of disgusted with myself over having quit, over
mm-hmm.
having not lost the weight, and would eat to make myself feel better. And in a couple months, I'd be back to where I started and generally even a couple pounds over where I started.
Sure.
Whatever program I was on at the time. And so... I've had kind of an up and down battle with weight for the past, I'd say, 10, 11 years, and I've never really not lost enough weight to get down to my ultimate goal. I would lose a few and then gain it back. And so I've never had the amount of success that I've had on leanest lifestyle.
When you were doing the BFL and Weight Watchers programs before, what was a typical starting weight for you? How far down would you go? You've kind of given us, you've lost, mm-hmm. you'd lose 7 pounds or something, but where were you usually starting from, and what would be the lowest you would get to before you'd finally say, this is enough?
Well, I think when the times that I remember doing Weight Watchers, I actually was shocked at how high that I was starting, because I thought my weight was a lot lower than it, well, not a lot lower, but was lower than it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember at least one of the times I did Weight Watchers. They're hard to keep track of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I started at about 159.
Okay.
And I think generally got down, you know, would get down to maybe like 147, kind of the high 140s.
Right.
And then I would give up.
Okay.
The first time that I did a Body for Life 12-week challenge, it was right after I had my second baby. And so I was up to about 170 at that point. I had lost kind of the easy-to-lose baby weight, you know, the
sure.
stuff that comes out with the baby. But I hadn't lost the weight that I had put on just from eating too darn much.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I did that first Body for Life attempt, I was about 170. And I actually lost 15 pounds. I got down to about 155. And I was fairly pleased with that. But then the holidays came around, went on vacation for a month in New Zealand, and lo and behold, gained most of it back.
Mm-hmm.
So then I decided to do Body for Life again, starting at about, I think that time I was about 165 or so, and got down to about 160. And it was at that point that I just, and that was after 10 weeks, and at that point I just said, you know, this just isn't working. This is too slow for me. And that's when I found Leanest Lifestyle.
So what do you think it is that made it click as far as the Leanest Lifestyle versus, you know, the other two programs?
Mm-hmm.
And I can see what you mean. You know, of course, it was post-baby
right.
as far as that additional weight. But, you know, even after the baby, you're saying after the baby you started about 170 that one time.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, this time, we're going to get to that in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just ask it now. What'd you weigh then when you first found the Leanest Lifestyle in May when you came in?
When I first found Leanest Lifestyle, I weighed 159.5.
Okay. All right. And you said, I think today you're 124. And what did you okay. get down to at the end of October when the summer contest?
121.2.
Okay. So, which is great, of course, and everyone will be able to see that. But what's different then? I mean, Weight Watchers is a fairly structured program.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to the meetings?
I did.
All right, so you went to the meetings, so you got support there. There was probably some group interaction. There was weigh-ins. There was
right.
all this stuff going on. And BFL is more of a starter program, in my opinion. But But it's still you know, got a sound base,
right.
And can get people to a certain level. So why do you think it's been so different?
You know, I've spent some time thinking about this and trying to understand it, because having a successful weight loss transformation is so not used to what I'm dealing
right.
with.
Right.
It's definitely out of the norm for me, and so I've spent some time thinking about why was it different this time.
Well, being a psychology major and
exactly.
a research scientist,
of course, I tend to think about these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of come up with two ideas about that. One is that I think that I was at a very different place this time.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had a click moment when I was pregnant with my second, where I was almost 200 pounds. And granted, you know, I was pregnant, so that was part of it. But I just felt really horrible about where I was at. And I think one of the things that was kind of challenging about that was I was very motivated to lose weight, but couldn't because of the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so something about really wanting to lose weight and having that motivation but not being able to made me say to myself, you know, once I am in a position where I can lose the weight, I'm going to take advantage of that privilege. You know, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I'm healthy and can exercise, that I can afford to eat healthy food, and I'm really going to do it this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I did okay on Body for Life that first time and then kind of fell back into some old habits and gained some of that weight back, and it didn't work the second time. And in trying to understand why that may be the case and why Lena's lifestyle in particular was different for me, I think part of it was because, and I don't know if I'll be able to explain this adequately, but that Lena's lifestyle doesn't really sugarcoat what you have to do to lose weight. It kind of spells it out and says, here's the science behind this. Here's the formula. If you do X, Y, and Z, you will lose weight, barring any, you know, health problems
right.
or anything like that. And whereas the other programs, in a sense, kind of tried to make it easy. You know, they kind of said, oh, we have these points, and mm-hmm. you can eat whatever you want as long as you're within the points, and you don't really need to exercise that much. And, you know, with Body for Life, oh, you can have free days where you eat whatever you want. And, well, that's not the thing to say to me, because I will mm-hmm. eat whatever I want, and that's
sure.
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think on some level, the fact that, you know, Lena's lifestyle kind of says, you know, this is going to take some effort and some focus. And losing weight isn't necessarily hard. It just is. You know, one of the quotes that you have, which,
right.
which I love, you know, it's not hard, it just is. That being said, you do have to work at it. And it does take some effort to change your lifestyle to make it in such a way that, that you will be able to lose the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I kind of had this mindset, and I think that the other programs in some way kind of set me up for this, of saying, well, I'll just have to make these kind of minor changes, and it won't be that hard. And in truth, when I just made those minor changes, I didn't really lose any weight.
Right.
And what I needed to do was kind of a major overhaul of my lifestyle. I needed to incorporate exercise regularly. I needed to incorporate high-intensity exercise regularly. I needed to lift weights. You know, I needed to eat more vegetables. I couldn't just eat 20 points worth of carbs, all, you know, starchy carbs all day, and that would be okay.
Sure.
So I think that for me, the other thing that I would say is that Lena's lifestyle kind of appeals to that scientist in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has the, you know, equations that you use to figure out
right.
how much weight, if you want to lose X amount of weight in X amount of time using X amount of exercise minutes, this is how many calories you need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, as a scientist who does statistics all day, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes perfect sense. That's what I need to do. It just appeals to that
mm-hmm.
analytical part in me, whereas the points and all of that kind of seemed like magic.
Well, you said, you actually say that very, very well, Kelly, and that one of the things that I find with a number of members who kind of gravitate to the program, I would say, with less kicking and screaming,
mm-hmm.
is are those individuals who are maybe a little more analytical, maybe
uh-huh.
just a little bit more logical
right.
in their thinking, because the roadmap is pretty clear
mm-hmm.
in Lena's lifestyle with, you know, the different formulas and the number crunching and so forth.
Right.
And also, you said it very well with regard to, you know, Weight Watchers, in that, you know, in working with a number of clients that have come from Weight Watchers, and of course Body for Life, I'll just leave that alone for now,
mm-hmm.
but there's still a mystery
right.
in some ways about what do points mean. And what I do a lot of times with Weight Watchers clients is I ask them, what do the points mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say something like, well, I don't know, I just know that if you eat foods that are real high in fat, the points are up.
Right.
And that you can't have more than this many points a day. And I say, okay, I understand that. Those are the mm-hmm. guidelines. But what do they mean?
Right.
Well, I don't know. I guess ultimately they have something to do with calories.
Yeah.
I'm like, exactly.
Right.
So why not just say it, you know?
Why not just say it's calories?
Right. Because if we do, then we don't necessarily have a program that keeps people coming back.
Right.
And so
right.
my goal exactly. is kind of the opposite in a lot of ways of what some of the other programs are. My goal is to let you get out of the nest and fly
mm-hmm.
and only revisit when necessary on rare occasion,
mm-hmm.
you know, once you really get it down. It's truly like an educational process.
Right.
And some of the other programs, that, while an educational process, sure, they don't really want to totally set you free.
Right.
It's
right.
like, let's mystify it with some of these other things.
Mm-hmm.
So you
mm-hmm.
said that very, very well, and I just had to kind of expand on that just a little bit because it was top of mind. Well,
right.
how did your body fat change, Kelly, during this particular transformation going from 159 to 121?
I'm not exactly sure what I started at 159. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it would probably be 35 to 36%.
Sounds about right.
And at the end of the summer challenge, I was down to about 19.1.
Mm-hmm.
So it changed fairly dramatically. Not quite in half, but,
yeah,
but close. And
yeah,
I'm
absolutely
hoping to get it down to half.
Well, these things come in stages, and you've accomplished a magnificent stage, and you've also, not only that, but you've had success.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, that's different.
Yes, it's a different experience for me.
It's a different experience, yeah. So now you can kind of build on that, so mm-hmm. I have no doubt. Well, during this particular process, was anything harder than you thought it would be or anything easier?
Well, one of the things that was easier for me than I thought it would be was exercise, actually.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, since I stopped competing as a skater, exercise has been very sporadic. I would, you know, go for a couple months, and then I would stop. I'm not exactly sure why, just getting lazy, I think, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really fully incorporated into my life or into my lifestyle. It was never a huge priority for me unless I was trying to lose weight. And that's actually changed for me. I see now that even at times when I'm not trying to lose weight, but I'm just trying to maintain, exercise is going to continue to be a part of my life. I've come to enjoy it. It hasn't been particularly difficult to make the time for it. I mean, that being said, I am getting up at 4:30 in the morning to
mm-hmm.
go do it because
mm-hmm.
I have two young kids, and that's the only time I can fit it in.
Mm-hmm.
But surprisingly, even doing that has not been that difficult for me, and I think it's because the benefits that I get from it are so immediate. You know, I feel so much better after I do it that it's not an aversive thing for me to do. So
don't you just kind of feel in a lot of ways it's just like a natural Prozac?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel bad when I don't do it,
mm-hmm.
and not just guilt, but physically I just don't feel great.
Right.
So it's definitely been very rewarding to incorporate exercise in my life like that, and much easier than I would have thought 6-8 months ago. So that actually was easier.
Well, I'm sure during your summer transformation, and this is moving on to the next question, but I'm sure during your summer transformation, it was 100% bed of roses, and every day you woke up with flowers
next
to your bed. Your husband told you, I love you 16 times a day,
right.
but didn't overdo it. Everything was perfect.
That's right.
The kids were never sick. There was
never
any trauma in your life. And since I'm obviously joking with that, it doesn't mean there was a catastrophe either,
mm-hmm.
but did you experience any things? I mean, did life just keep coming at you? And were there things that could have thrown you off course had you let it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that the biggest thing for me was that during the summer challenge, I started back to work full-time.
Mm.
And actually had a new job, similar to what I'd been doing, but still a new job.
Mm-hmm.
And so this actually was the first time that I had worked full-time since having my kids. And so one of the things that was difficult for me was figuring out how to both maintain my focus on the challenge and all of the things that required, as well as incorporating, you know, 20, 25 more hours worth of work into my schedule.
Sure.
And so that was a transition for me. It was a welcome transition because I wanted to be back at work full time, and I really enjoy my job. And so it wasn't a negative thing at all, but it did bring on, you know, a little more stress and a little more complications than I might have had otherwise. So that was one thing that I had to kind of, and I'm still kind of figuring out how to work around is, okay, how do we incorporate me working full-time into our family life and into my, you know, desire to stay fit and that sort of thing.
That's a very, very common issue with, you know, working mothers. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's, in general, is there's the, you know, the guilt issues of home,
right.
coupled with the, you know, are the kids taken care of, coupled with we still need to have income issues, coupled
right.
with it all. And that's a real juggling act that, you know, the working mother of today just really has to try and find a balance with.
Oh yeah, and it's so hard when you're starting to work full time and feel like, okay, I've got to devote, you know, this amount of energy to my job, and, mm-hmm. and I need to devote this amount of energy to my family, and all of a sudden you're left with very little energy for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to, you know, continue with the challenge, which requires, you know, a great deal of focus on myself, in some ways felt kind of selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I could see how continuing the transformation and continuing to get more fit and lose weight was actually giving me more energy to do all of the other things that I needed to do. You know, it's like the analogy that I've used sometimes with clients that I've seen in therapy is, it's just like when you're in an airplane and they say, you know, you need to put on your own mask before, your oxygen mask, before you put on an oxygen mask of someone sitting beside you who needs help. You have to make sure that you're in a place where you're able to take care of other people. And before I participated in Lena's lifestyle, that was one of the things that was lacking, was I didn't have that focus on myself, and I wasn't taking enough care of myself to be able to really fully care for other people in a way that I wanted to. And that's one of the, you know, best benefits I found to having completed this transformation, is that not only do I feel great about myself, but I feel like I have much more energy to play with my kids and, you know, devote time to my husband. And so that really feels great. I mean, it's you know, I like the way I look now, but that other benefit is much more important to me. So
that's great. Yeah, and a lot, you know, one of the things that I say quite frequently that goes exactly hand in hand, which you said very well, put your own mask on first, is I always say, mm-hmm. pay yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean only pay yourself.
Right.
Be so selfish that you just ignore everything and everyone for forever.
Right.
But unless you pay yourself first, you're just not going to have what you really need inside to take care of the other things that you want to take care of, which is exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great analogy that you use, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, put your own mask on first. Otherwise, you know, while you're helping everybody else, you're going to die.
You're going to pass out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, tell us what a typical day, not a perfect day, not your best day, not your worst day. What was a typical day like when you were in the weight loss action phase, food-wise?
Food-wise? Well, I would generally start my day with a protein shake, typically like a Myoplex light,
mm-hmm.
Right after working out. Then I'd have a mid-morning snack of usually like yogurt or an apple or something like that. Lunch was typically a protein of some sort and salad or vegetables, you know, maybe a chicken salad or one of my favorite meals.
What'd you put on it for dressing?
I have a fat-free poppy seed dressing.
Okay.
That I like a lot. And I generally put, you know, like half an apple or something like that on the salad as well. Or I'd have, you know, maybe tuna and apple or something like that for lunch. In the afternoon, I generally have a protein bar and maybe some baby carrots or something like that to go with it. Dinner was usually kind of fairly similar to lunch, usually a protein and vegetables or a salad. And then I generally have a snack after dinner that tended to be a sweet snack.
Okay.
Something low-calorie like a fudgesicle,
mm-hmm.
or chocolate pudding that I would add protein powder to, or things like that. One of the things that I found was that by giving myself these kind of low-calorie sweet snacks, generally chocolatey snacks,
yeah.
I felt like I wasn't depriving myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made it much easier for me to stick to the rest of my eating plan. And so I found that to be particularly useful for me. So,
did you do that like right after supper, or was it maybe 2-3 hours after supper?
It was usually a little bit after supper, about 2 hours.
Okay.
Or so, yeah.
Now, you said, you know, for dinner you had, you know, some kind of protein, which is going to be some kind of, you know, probably animal flesh of some kind.
Yeah.
And then vegetables. But the first thing that crosses my mind, and especially in dealing with hundreds of people every day who don't eat any vegetables and are,
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out ways to do it, when you say you had, you know, some kind of protein, which would be a meat and vegetables, what'd you do to spice it up, make it taste good, flavor it? Anything, mm-hmm. any tricks to that trade?
Well, I've found that as an adult, I have come to love salads. And so for me, I just like them.
Okay.
They just taste good to me. Other vegetables are a little trickier.
Okay.
And I've come to kind of find vegetables that I like. And I definitely have vegetables that I don't like. But things like green beans with a little balsamic vinegar mm-hmm. on them taste great. Spaghetti squash is kind of sweet, so I like that that flavor. But
mostly salads, and that you just make it easy because the flavoring ends up being a dressing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And that was very easy for me. The other thing that I think in some ways made it easier is that I'm trying to get my kids to eat more vegetables.
Right.
And so I realized that, well, if I want them to eat vegetables, I need to eat them too. So kind of trying to model that for them has been kind of useful in that regard, trying to figure out ways to eat vegetables in such a way that they're tasty, like you were saying, maybe putting a little of the Molly McButter stuff on them or things like that
mm-hmm.
Has made them more appealing to the kids and also more appealing to me. But I definitely feel like even though I probably eat enough vegetables quantity-wise on most days, I definitely could use... I could stand to add a little more variety to my vegetables. So I'm still working on that one.
Sure. Well, we don't have to do it all at once. And,
right.
I don't know if, other than a vegetarian, and even some of them aren't real good at it, I don't know if...
Right.
I don't know too many people that have the variety and the quantity always down pat when it comes to veggies. But
you've made
great strides, and that's all that's really important here.
Yeah, it's definitely an improvement because I used to not eat any vegetables. So it's an improvement.
What about activity? Now, you're a full-time mother, wife, mm-hmm. all that good stuff,
mm-hmm.
professional career, changed jobs, all that. How much time did you put into resistance training? How much time into cardio? How did you split your days up?
Well, in the beginning of the challenge, when I first started Leanness Lifestyle, I set a goal of myself for about 360 minutes of exercise, so about 1 hour, 6 days a week.
Okay.
And at first I thought, oh my God, I'll never be able to do all that.
Right.
And towards the end of the challenge, I was actually doing up to 600 minutes a week. So it's definitely one of those gradual progression things where once you start to incorporate it and see the benefits, it gets much easier to add more and more minutes as you go along. Now, I'm not doing that much right now, but that's how much I was doing towards the end of the challenge. And I was doing resistance training 4 days a week. I would do upper body twice and lower body twice for about, depending, 45 minutes to an hour each time. And then the rest of the time was spent doing cardio.
Okay. And your favorite cardio is, if there is such a thing?
Oh, I tend to either jog on the treadmill and kind of vary the intensity, or do the elliptical trainer.
Okay. Do you still feel the pull toward some of the unhealthy food choices today? Did you feel it during the contest?
A little during the contest. I was able, for the most part, to resist during the contest because I was pretty focused and had established a clear goal and was pretty dedicated to reaching that goal. Since the contest, I have definitely been a little more tempted and a little more challenged in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel like I've made strides in improving my eating habits, but that pull towards unhealthy food is still there, as I witnessed over Thanksgiving holiday last week. It's very easy for me once, especially if I'm out of my routine,
mm-hmm.
If I'm out of town or visiting relatives or things like that, to kind of get out of the mindset of needing to eat particular foods, and can still very easily revert back to my 33-year ingrained habits of being able to eat whatever I want, or not being able to eat whatever I want, but eating whatever I want regardless of the consequences.
Right.
So even though I feel like I've done a lot to change my habits, there's kind of 33 years versus 6 months
right.
in terms of time spent doing it. And so it's still a challenge for me.
Sure. And it's going to be for another couple of years or so.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the beast. The old, it's 21 days to create a habit does not create a habit when it comes to these things.
Right. Yeah.
21, maybe to get up at 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
But not to change your eating habits.
Right. And there's so much going on there emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that it takes longer. That's for sure.
What's tougher for you, eating healthy or keeping activity up where it should be?
Eating healthy.
Eating healthy.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, what do you do even now? Where I'm going to still say you're in action, because typically speaking, when we look at the stages of change model,
mm-hmm.
Typically the guideline is about 6 months
right.
after achieving your goal before we can say that you're in maintenance, and that's
mm-hmm.
only when you maintain,
right.
you truly do maintain, that we can say that you're in maintenance. And you're about 30 days
mm-hmm.
into holding this weight,
right?
So What do you do? What do you do when you feel it? Any tips for the people that are like, I just get these cravings and I just cave.
Mhm. Mhm. Boy, it's a tough one. Sometimes I cave.
Sure.
I definitely have given in to some of those urges and regretted it later, but I think what's been different for me this time is that I don't beat myself up about it. I say, well, I ate something that it would be better if I hadn't eaten it, but I did eat it, and so move on from here and do better next time, make a better choice next time. And I think kind of what I did before when I would do that would be I would, do that all or nothing thinking where, oh, I ate one cookie, that means I've blown it for the rest of my life. I might as well eat a quart of ice cream.
Right.
And would just kind of spiral downward from there. What's been different this time is I may eat three cookies when I hadn't planned to, but then I say, oh, well, that was a mistake. I'm going to do better next time, and I'm not going to use it as an excuse to just go ahead and let myself go.
Spiral, right.
Yeah.
Do you find that you naturally compensate in some ways when you have the three or four cookies that are really not a part of the plan on a given day? Do you find you naturally compensate by making adjustments with either your activity or eating for the rest of the day or the next day?
Yeah, I definitely do. I definitely will try to eat cleaner the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe eat a little less starchy carbs or things like that. Maybe drink a little more water. Exercise, 15 minutes more, 20 minutes more, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
But I also try, in some sense, not to punish myself for it,
right.
and to recognize, that I'm human, and that, three cookies aren't going to kill me. It's okay.
Sure.
I'm gonna make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that I have to totally blow it. I can kind of, as you said, make some adjustments for it and move on, and try to figure out, the psychologist in me again, why did I make that choice that time? Why did I succumb to that craving? And try to think about that before I succumb to it the next time. So really I try to learn from it. And I'm not quite there yet, but I am trying to learn from those times when I do give in. So.
Well, one of the things that I'm hearing, and I want to say that I think this is very important to your continued success, and definitely important to your success thus far,
mm-hmm.
is that what you say to yourself when you have a fall down.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm hearing is it sounds like what you've been saying to yourself and what you said during the contest when you'd have something that was off plan, something you just hadn't allowed for or whatever, is not the absolute, berating
mm-hmm.
that so many people do.
Right.
You're scum.
Right.
You're a pile of dog dung.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have had that. You can't do anything right. And all these incredibly negative thoughts that aren't even spoken,
right,
wave, over a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that yours were at that level or whatever in the past.
Well,
but
they have been.
Okay. But it just sounds like, that you're saying different things now, and that's so incredibly important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's made a huge difference for me, my self-talk, as it were.
Right.
The way that I talk to myself is now coming from more of a place of kind of respect for myself and caring for myself rather than thinking I'm worthless. And
that's awesome. That's so incredibly powerful. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels so much different. Just experientially feeling positive about myself and being able to be proud of myself is just is just so different. And like I said in my essay, you know, I consider myself to be fairly successful. And
sure.
This was kind of the one area that I just felt like I had no control over. But, boy, it was enough to make me feel worthless in kind of all areas
sure.
of my life. You know, it was pervasive. And the effects now that I've changed that way of looking at myself are just as pervasive. I mean, I feel confident about my body and my health now, but that spilled over into all other arenas of my life. So it's definitely transformed, you know, not just my body.
Right. Well, do you take a multivitamin?
Yes.
You take anything else, like extra calcium or anything besides Myoplex?
I do take calcium, yes.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Otherwise, I'm going to leave supplements alone.
I occasionally take...
Oh, you have bars.
Fish oil. Yeah, bars. And then I occasionally take fish oil capsules. But
okay.
That's very irregular. It's just kind of whenever I see them in
yeah.
the cabinet, I go, oh, maybe I'll take one of those. So...
Which, ideally, you would take it probably quite regularly.
Right.
But you're human again, and yep. you know, even as someone who owns a supplement company, I can't say that I always take my fish oil like I should.
Right.
Well, when you started the Leanest Lifestyle, what size clothes were you wearing and that kind of stuff, and what are you wearing now?
When I started back in May, I was a 12 to 14. When I started the contest, I was about a 10,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm about a 2 to 4.
Wow.
Yeah. And actually, I have to tell you, because I think this is kind of funny, because I'm 5'2", I often have trouble finding women's pants that fit me because
okay.
they're too long,
oh.
Particularly workout pants. And so I actually went to the kids section and have found pants that fit me in the children's clothing.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. So and the great thing is they're about half the price for exactly the same thing.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So now we've had an economic impact as well.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so funny.
So yeah, I'm down to about a 2 to 4, which I thought I would never get back into,
well,
especially after having kids.
Oh, sure. Well, one of the things I wanted to ask is, what do you think, you've had some success in the past, and you've gotten down to, you know, the 140s.
Right.
And then, like you said, the thoughts would come in, it's insidious, it kind of creeps back in, next thing you know, you're 160, 170 again, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that going to happen this time?
Because now I know what I need to do. Before, I think I kind of, I never fully trusted the programs that I was on. I mean, even though I was kind of slowly losing weight, I think there was part of me that never really believed that I could reach my ultimate fitness goal with those programs, because I would kind of have to tweak what I was doing on the programs to get it to work, and would end up just giving up. And because of that, I never actually got down to where I needed to be, which is, you know, I would say in the 120s, to really feel successful at it. And now I feel like I'm successful at this. I know how to do it. I know that Leanest Lifestyle works. And I know that if I, for some reason, ever put any of this weight back on, which I'm not planning to, but if it were to happen, I know what I need to do to change it. I know what I need to do to lose the weight. But I don't. That being said, I don't foresee that happening. I mean, this, as you say in your book, this is a lifestyle. And I feel like I've really approached it as a lifestyle, made kind of completely overhauled the way I think about food, the way I exercise, things like that. It's not like a one-time deal where you go on the program for 12 weeks and then, boom, you're done, and you can go back to your regular way of being. I really feel like I've made fundamental changes in my life, and I don't foresee those going back to my old habits for the most part.
Are you taking any steps or making any plans or preparations, even mentally or in writing or anything else, to kind of ensure that those old ways don't creep back in? Or do you think it's going to be simply a matter of you have new knowledge, a new awareness, you know, more experience, maturity, that kind of thing, and that's going to be enough? Or do you think that you're going to have to make a continued conscious choice to really focus on not slipping back?
I actually think it's going to be a combination of both. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that I've realized how, first of all, I've realized how good it feels to be healthy and to be at a lower weight. And so I in one sense, I know more about what I'd be missing if I were to gain the weight back.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I know how good this feels. And I think before, because I didn't really get to this point, I didn't really realize what I was missing to an extent. And mm-hmm. so now I know what I'd be losing by gaining the weight back. And some of the choices that I've had to kind of concentrate on making as part of the challenge and as part of adjusting to the leanest lifestyle are now kind of more automatic for me. Choosing healthier foods and exercising, those things have become more automatic than they have been before. So to some extent, it won't take, I'm thinking it won't take as much work as it did to make the transformation in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I am going to need to continue to monitor my choices and make sure that I'm, sticking with the plan. I plan on continuing to weigh myself every day as a way of, making sure that I don't go over whatever particular upper weight limit I kind of set for myself.
Right.
I've also gotten rid of all of my big clothes.
Oh, good for you.
Yes, they're all gone.
Awesome.
And so now if I don't fit, I think the biggest thing that I have is a 6. And so if I start not fitting into that, well, I'm not buying any more clothes.
Right.
So that's actually, one of the biggest motivators for me is, I have clothing that I like in small sizes.
Sure.
No other clothing. And so I'm going to have to run around naked.
There you go.
If I don't fit into those clothes, which if I don't fit into them, I particularly won't want to be walking around naked. So.
Well, that's a trigger point,
Yes.
And that's good that you've kind of got that set.
Yeah. So I've got kind of upper limits, I think, in place with weighing every day and having, clothes in smaller sizes. And so I know if those things start hitting those upper limits, it's time to get serious about it again. So,
in closing, this is the last thing.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to the woman out there who was in your shoes at 160 and 170, who has done a number of different programs or maybe only a few, mm-hmm. but is trying to figure out after a couple of kids or no kids, whatever, but she's mm-hmm. in that same boat. She's trying to figure out if she should do it one more time.
Right.
Any words of advice, anything you would say to her?
Well, I guess what I would say to, what I think would have been helpful for me at that stage, which may not be helpful for all women,
mm-hmm.
but would be to stop thinking about it and just do it. Trust the program. For me, being a scientist and a researcher, I like to, accumulate all sorts of knowledge and do all sorts of research and know everything about every little aspect of something that I can. But that doesn't mean I act on it. And that's what I found with weight loss. I mean, I could have gotten a PhD in all this stuff as well as my psychology degree because I knew so much about how to lose weight. Probably not all of it was true.
Right.
But the amount of information that I knew is astounding. That didn't translate into any action for me. And so I guess for me, what worked for me was just to stop saying, I'm going to stop trying to figure this out. I'm going to stop trying to think about it and, plan every little detail and all sorts. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to make myself get up and exercise. I'm going to not think about it and act instead of contemplate, in a sense, going from that contemplation stage to the action stage. And that's what worked for me, because then once I actually tried it and found that I was successful, that's all it took. I mean, that was motivating enough for me to keep at it. I think that's what would have helped for me, is for somebody to just kind of kick me in the butt and say, you're spending all this time thinking about it, but you sure aren't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that is still an energy being used, just to sit and think about it and to wait, have it be your last thought when you go to bed and your first thought when you wake up.
Right.
So, well, Kelly, I want to thank you so much for your time today and doing this interview with me. You've been an incredible success. You're going to be a great inspiration to so many people as they come across your, not only your photos, but also your story here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's obviously so much more here that we've talked about than people would have realized had they just looked at a picture of this woman who made this great transformation or read her essay. So that's one of the reasons that we do this, and I just want to thank you again, and we'll keep in touch. You keep in touch. And we'll keep monitoring and following along and see how things go over the next year or longer. And, hey, we want to see you at, you know, your weight now or that ultimate, whatever you choose.
That's right.
As time goes on. So thank you again, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. If you enjoyed this recording and would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. And spelling that out, that is www.LennonEEdward, AAnAdam, NAnora, NAsAnnora, EEsAnEdward, SAsAnSam, SAsAnSam, then lifestyle.com. That's www.LennonEEsslifestyle.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording.